الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، this is our first lesson in our seminar over the weekend with regards to the science of hadith. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us to make it beneficial and grant us a good understanding of his religion, and to grant us sincerity and truthfulness in seeking knowledge, and to make it easy and facilitated for us to understand and to apply it in a manner that's pleasing to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we have here, the PDF is available in the message channel, likewise in the Kutab al-Salafi channel, it's available. We have a summarization. I have entitled it Khulasatu al-Thamra fi Mustalahi Ahli al-Athar, the essence of the harvest, the summary of the terminology of the people of hadith, which is a summarization and selections from the work of our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Ibn Hamid al-Abad al-Badr Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala. His work is called Ijtina al-Thamr fi Mustalahi Ahli al-Athar, and he has written this in a question and answer form. We have selected a handful of questions and answers that are suitable for our classes. So, بإذن الله تعالى, we begin seeking the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تقديم المترجم. Begin with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Here we have a translator's forward. Just to clarify any of the efforts here that we're discussing. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Amma ba'd. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, all praise and thanks are due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And may peace and blessings be upon the noblest of the prophets and messengers, our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family, his companions, and those who follow them in righteousness until the day of judgment. To proceed. فَهَذَا اخْتِصَارُ لِكِتَابِ اجْتِنَاءَ الثَّمَرُ فِي مُصْطَلِحِ أَهْلِ الْأَثَرِ لِشَيْخِنَا الشَّيْخِ عَبْدُ الْمُحْسِنِ بْنِ حَمَدٍ الْعَبَادِ الْبَدْرِ حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. وَقَدْ سَمَّيْتُهُ خُلَاصَةُ الثَّمَرِ فِي مُصْطَلِحِ أَهْلِ الْأَثَرِ. This is a summary of the book اجْتِنَاءَ الثَّمَرِ فِي مُصْطَلِحِ أَهْلِ الْأَثَرِ, authored by our esteemed Shaykh Abdul Muhsin ibn Hamad al-Abad al-Badr, may Allah preserve him. I have entitled it خُلَاصَةُ الثَّمَرِ فِي مُصْطَلِحِ أَهْلِ الْأَثَرِ. وَذَكَرَ الْمُؤَلِّفُ حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ 53 سُؤَالًا فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ اللَّطِيفِ النَّافِعِ. وذكر المؤلف حفظه الله 53 سؤالا في هذا الكتاب اللطيف النافع، وقد قمت باختيار 20 سؤالا منها للاختصار والتلخيص، وهي الأسئلة المرقمة على النحو التالي: 1, 37, 38, 39, 40, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 22. وقد جعلتها على هذا الترتيب لما رأيت من مناسبة للطلاب المبتدئين، ثم قمت بترجمتها إلى اللغة الإنجليزية رجاء الإفادة والاستفادة. The author, may Allah preserve him, he presented a total of 53 questions. He presented in this work a total of 53 questions in this concise, beneficial work. I have selected and summarized 20 of them, which are numbered as follows. Number 1, 37, 38, 39, 40. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17, 20, and 22. I put them in this order because it is more suitable, in my view, for the beginner students. And then I translated them into English with hopes to bring benefit. Al-Maqsoodu bihi تيسير مادته وتقريبها للطلاب المبتدئين في هذا الفن الشريف مع الحفاظ على أهم مسائله وفوائده التي يكثر ورودها في كلام أهل العلم. The purpose of this effort is to simplify the content and to make it accessible to beginner students of knowledge, beginner students of this noble science, while preserving its most important issues and commonly referred benefits that frequently appear in the words and writings of the scholars. ليكون الطالب على علم ودراية من مقاصد العلماء في كلماتهم وكتاباتهم، وليزداد إيمانا وثقة بسنة نبيه وتمسكا بدينه بإذن الله الكريم المنان. So this is so that the student may gain a clear understanding of the scholar's intent in their expressions and writings, and so that his faith may increase, along with his confidence in the sunnah of his prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his adherence to the religion, by the permission of Allah, the most gracious, the most generous, the bestower. وَهَذَا الْمُخْتَصَرُ مُسْوَدَّةٌ أَوَّلِيَّةٌ غير معدة للنشر وهو الاستعمال الشخصي فحسب ولا يخلو من النقص أو التقصير فالعذر مأمون والنصح مقبول. The summary is a preliminary draft not intended for publication and for personal use only. It is not without shortcomings or deficiencies, so I hope the excuse is accepted and I welcome sincere advice. فالله أرجو أن ينفع به من اطلع عليه وأن يجعل عملنا كله صالحا ولوجهه خالصا وألا يجعل لأحد فيه شيئا إنه جواد كريم وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. I ask Allah to benefit whoever reads, to make all our deeds righteous and sincerely for his sake alone, and not to assign any share of it to anyone else. Indeed, he is the most generous and noble. May peace and blessings be upon our Prophet, his family, and his companions. So this is the methodology of the work, as we have seen. And this is the clarification of that. So one thing that I left off here in the foreword is that, along with those selected questions, I left the introduction of the author as it is. I left the introduction of the author as it is. And now we begin to read that. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim al-Muqaddima. He began with the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, the introduction. Alhamdulillahi wahda. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi amma ba'd. فهذه مذكرات في علم مصطلح الحديث كتبتها على طريقة السؤال والجواب لطلاب السنة الثالثة الثانوية في معهد بريدة العلمي عام 79,300 هجرية. The Sheikh, he mentioned حفظه الله in his introduction, all praises due to Allah alone, and may Allah send peace and blessings upon the one after whom there is no prophet, and upon his family and companions. To proceed. This is a memorandum, yani a small treatise on the science of hadith terminology. It was written in a question and answer format for third year high school students at the Institute of Bureida in the year 1379 after the Hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So initially it was written for high school students in the third year, in Bureida, and it was first offered in 1379 for this purpose, which was 68 years ago. So many of us, we were not alive 68 years ago. Many of us were not alive 68 years ago. And this is what the Shaykh, he was writing. The Shaykh, he mentioned, Hafidhullah, he explained the actual work, maybe about 6 years ago in the Prophet's Masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioning commentary on it, and he mentioned that this was the first work that he authored. The first work that he authored was this work here, Hafidhullah Ta'ala. And it's been more than 68 years since he authored it. So he says, وَهِيَ مَبْنِيَةٌ بِتَرْتِيبِهَا وَمَعَانِيهَا عَلَى كِتَابِ نُخْبَةِ الْفِكْرِ وَشَرْحِهِ نُزْهَةِ النَّظْرِ لِلْحَافِظِ بْنِ حَجَرِ الْأَسْقَلَانِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ وَمَادَّتُهَا مُسْتَقَاتٌ مِنْهُ إِلَّا فِي النَّدْرِ اليسير. إلا في النادر اليسير. It is organized and derived and meaning from the book نخبة الفكر and its commentary نزحة النظر. نخبة الفكر and its commentary نزحة النظر by حافظ الحافظ بن حجر العسقلاني, may Allah have mercy on him. الحافظ بن حجر العسقلاني رحمه الله, he died in the year 852, drawing upon his context except in very rare cases. So the Shaykh is mentioning that he wrote this for these high school students. And this was over 68 years ago. But the base for this work, he derived it from the work of Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a very famous, concise, and brief treatise in Mustalah Hadith. It's called Nukhbat al-Fikr. Nukhbat al-Fikr. And it's just like his name, is from the most amazing works written in this affair, summarizing years and years of great efforts in this science and this small treatise, and arranging it in a very beneficial and beautiful manner. And the people after him, they're relying upon his efforts and coming back to him, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he explained that same small treatise himself in another work called Nuzhatu An-Nadhr. And it's also brief and concise, yet it's very beneficial. And it's from those works that are relied upon with regards to this science. So the Shaykh, he went to these two works here, the original and the explanation. And the way that he explained the explanation is very amazing. Likewise, rahimahullah ta'ala, he took the original work and then he entered inside of it expressions and words, sentences and clarification. It's not like some may say they'll put the text, the original text here, and then below they'll put a point here and explain. No, he made the text and then put inside the text a sharh, so that the text is flowing into the sharh, and the sharh is flowing into the text. So it's a whole new text, any with additions in it, but the original thing, the original work is the work of Nukbat al-Fikr. You understand the idea? How he wrote the text, and he entered the explanation inside of the text. Inside of the text. The same text is there, and then along with that, he entered into it the explanation. It's called Nusha al-Nadr. So the Shaykh, Hafidhullah ta'ala, he went to this work here, which is a fundamental work, and it's concise and considered very reliable in general in the content. And he made it in question and answer form, suitable for high school students. Suitable for high school students. So then he says that he followed that methodology in this book entirely, except in very rare cases. And there's a few cases where he made additions or changes according to the arrangement or that which is mentioned in these works. So he says, وَقَدْ طُبِعَتْ في عام 81 و300 ألف هجريا نشر دار الثقافة الإسلامية بالرياض والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Said, and it was printed in the year 1381 after the hijrah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم by دار الثقافة الإسلامية in الرياض. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may Allah send peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and upon his companions. So it was first authored in 1379, and today we're in 1447, and then it was printed in 1381. So 1381, yani approximately, is 1959. Understand that? What year is it today? 2025. So this was printed in 1959. The Sheikh himself, Hafidhullah, he was born in 1934. So that makes him 25 years old whenever this work was printed. So he was approximately 23 years old whenever he wrote the work initially. Hafidhullah ta'ala. Just to give you some background on this work here that we're discussing, and also on the efforts of the Shaykh Abdul Muhsin ibn Hamid al-Abad al-Badr, Hafidhullah ta'ala wa matta'a bihi. So we move into the muqaddimah. He says, al-muqaddimah, ilmu mustalih al-hadith, introduction, the science of the terminology of hadith. Ilm mustalah al-hadith, science of the terminology of hadith. The word mustalah is a ism maf'ul from istalaha. Istalaha yastalihu. Istalah istilahan. Al-mustalah, the plural is mustalahat. So the word mustalah is used to refer to اتفاق طائفة مخصوصة في معنى مخصوص من لفظ مخصوص. This word مصطلح, or what we call terminology, this is in reference to a group of people, particularly scholars and the likes. They have an agreement on the understanding of a particular term, of the definition of a particular term. This is called مصطلح. So one word could mean more than one things according to the different groups of scholars who define it. Understand that? We discussed this before in the work Usul al-Sunnah. The word Sunnah could mean more than one thing according to the definition. The fuqaha, they would define it in one meaning, and the Usuliyun would define it in another meaning, and the scholars of Hadith, they would define it in another meaning. And this is because of what they're looking at and their intent from that particular term. So to define it according to the angle that they're looking and the goal and aim that they hope to achieve from that definition. So this is called mustalah. This is called terminology. So there are mustalahat in the religion, and it's important for a student of knowledge specifically and a Muslim in general to understand the basics of them, to have a basic fundamental vocabulary of the religion and of the words and terms that the people of knowledge they use. And mustalahat, whenever we talk about aqidah, there's mustalahat whenever we talk about manhaj, even that's a mustalah, right? Manhaj, methodology. There's mustalahat whenever we talk about tafsir. There's mustalahat whenever we talk about hadith and ilm al-hadith. There's mustalahat whenever we talk about fiqh and usul al-fiqh and the likes like this. So there's terminologies that the people of knowledge use. So the sciences of Islam and the scholars of this deen, they have a language that they use. So some of these mustalahat are very detailed and intricate. And these types of mustalahat, they don't concern us in the likes of this class. But other mustalahat, they're very commonly used. And it's important to understand them, to know what is intended whenever you hear them or whenever you read them. So this is beneficial for the student of knowledge and likewise the layman who listens to the khutbah or sits in the classes and the likes like this. Even if he's not striving to seek knowledge, these terminologies, they will come. These terminologies, they will come whenever you study the books of the scholars of hadith, whenever you study Umdat al-Ahkam or Bulugh al-Maram, or you study Kitab al-Tawheed, or you study Al-Aqid al-Wasitiyah and the likes like this. You study these works here, these are works by scholars of hadith. And the scholars in general, they all use these terminologies. So every scholar, the true scholar who has a grounded foundation in the religion, he must have a portion of the science. He must have a good portion, an understanding of the science, because the religion of Islam is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah. The Quran has reached us bi riwayat mutawatira. So it's established. It's established that it's authentic. So there's no doubt about that. As for the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there are some narrations that are authentic and there are others that are not. Some of them are deficient or weak, and some of them are lies and fabricated. So a person who's going to study these affairs, the sciences of the religion, he's going to speak about the tafsir of the Quran, or he's going to speak about the rulings in jurisprudence, or he's going to speak about the interpretation of the Sunnah, or he's going to speak about contracts and dealings. He has to have some knowledge of this affair. He has to have some knowledge of the science of hadith, because he's dependent upon the Sunnah to interpret the Quran, and likewise to derive rulings to establish the judgments of jurisprudence and the like scientists. So this is derived from the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Quran many times comes with general rulings, and the Sunnah clarifies that. So a person who interprets the Quran with a hadith that is weak, his interpretation is like the evidence that he's using. And the person who uses a hadith for a ruling in jurisprudence to establish something being obligatory or forbidden, but he does not have foundation in the science, he uses a narration that is rejected, for example, then his position and his statement or opinion in the issues of jurisprudence would be like the narration that he relied upon, rejected. You understand that? So this is the case. So anyone who's going to study or specialize in any one of these sciences, whether it's aqidah or whether it's tafsir, or whether it's seerah, or whether it's fiqh, or the likes of these affairs, they're going to need to have a good amount of this knowledge in order to establish those affairs. Because the religion is from the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is in general. So the Shaykh, he says again, and with regards to this introduction, he says, تَعْرِفُهُ وَهُوَ عِلْمٌ يَبْحَثُ عَنْ أَحْوَالِ السَّنَدِ وَالْمَتَنِ مِنْ صِحَةٍ وَحُسْنٍ وَضَعْفٍ مِنْ صِحَةٍ وَحُسْنٍ وَضَعْفٍ وَرَعْفٍ وَوَقْفٍ وَقَطْعٍ وَأُلُوٍ وَنُزُولٍ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. The definition of this science, the definition of mustalah hadith, the science of hadith terminology, it is the science that investigates the conditions of the chain of transmission, the isnad, and the text, the metan. So this is what we're discussing here in the science of hadith. This is the main aim, to discuss the chain of narration and likewise the text that has been transmitted, In terms of authenticity, soundness, sweetness, elevation, suspension, disconnection, loftiness, descent, and other related matters. Some of these terminologies, we discuss them, and inshallah, others, they will come in when you study in more detail. So here is the definition. The definition of مصطلح حديث. The definition of مصطلح حديث علم بأصول وقواعد يعرف بها أحوال السند والمتن. أحوال السند والمتن. This is a more summarized definition that's easier to memorize. علم بأصول وقواعد يعرف بها أحوال السند والمتن. That مصطلح حديث is a science, knowledge of principles and fundamentals that you are able to know by way of them the condition of the chain in the text. The condition of the chain in the text. So the principles and fundamentals that are means to understand the reality and condition of the chain of narration and the text that has been transmitted, this is called the science of hadith. This is called the science of hadith. You understand that? It has come in the Alfiyah of Suyuti, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 911. He has an Alfiyah in Mustalah Hadith. He says, "Ilm al-hadithi dhu qawaneena yuhad yudra biha ahwal al-matn wa sanad. فذلك الموضوع والمقصود أن يعرف المقبول والمردود أن يعرف المقبول والمردود علم الحديث What is علم الحديث ذو قوانين تحد There are principles and fundamentals regulations that are defined يدرى به أحوال متن وسند It's known by way of them by way of these principles and by way of these fundamentals by way of these definitions the condition of the chain The condition of the text in the chain. فَذَلِكَ الْمَوْضُوعُ وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ الْمَقْبُولُ وَالْمَرْدُودُ And this is the subject and the topic of the science, the chain of narration and the text that has been transmitted. And what is intended from that, وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ الْمَقْبُولُ وَالْمَرْدُودُ And the intent from that is to know the narrations that are accepted from those that are rejected. To know the narrations that are accepted from those that are rejected. So here, this is what the author, he moves on to. He says, مَوْضُوعُهُ الرَّاوِي وَالْمَرْوِي مِنْ حَيْثُ الْقَبُولُ وَالرَّدِّ The subject matter of the science is the narrator and the narration. The narrator and what is narrated, any the narration, in terms of acceptance and rejection. So these words here, they're synonyms. As sanad, this is referring to الرَّاوِي. And the matin, this is الْمَرْوِي. Al-Marwi. Al-Rawi, he's the narrator. He's the one in the chain. And the Marwi is the narration that has been narrated. This is the metin. So we want to know the condition of the Rawi and the Marwi. We want to know the condition of the chain and the narrators in the chain and likewise the text that has reached us, the transmission, the metin, the content of that. So to learn this science and these fundamentals and these principles, this is our aim and our goal. This is the main aim and the main goal, although there are other benefits likewise. Again, As-Suyuti, he says, علم الحديث ذو قوانين تحد يدرى بها أحوال متن والسند فذلك الموضوع والمقصود أن يعرف المقبول والمردود So he says, حفظه الله, فائدته, the benefit of the science, معرفة ما يقبل وما يرد من ذلك To determine what is accepted and what is rejected from that. To determine what is rejected and accepted from that. وَالْمَقْصُودُ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ الْمَقْبُولُ وَالْمَرْدُودُ And what is intended from the science is to know the narrations that are accepted so that you can believe in them and apply them and draw near to Allah by way of that. And likewise, the narrations that are rejected so that you will not be tried by them. So that you will not be tried by them following falsehood or lies. So this is the main benefit. The main benefit and the main aim and goal from studying the science is to reach the level where a person will be able to identify and clarify the narrations that are authentic from those that are not. But this is not why we study this. And this is not the only benefit that comes from the science. But this is the main reasons. For those who are going to study the science in detail, first they'll have to learn the Arabic language. And then they'll study in the Arabic language and they will move on in this manner and they will reach a level, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, where they will learn how to check and verify narrations, checking the chains by gathering them and collecting them from their sources, and likewise checking the text as well by comparing them and the likes and identifying narrators and reading what the people of knowledge have mentioned about them in order to verify whether the chains are connected and the narrators are upright or not. So this is a long goal, a far off goal, but there are other benefits, inshallah, that I hope to achieve from studying the science in general. We will discuss some. بإذن الله تعالى. So he says, اسمه علم مصطلح الحديث ويسمى أيضا علوم الحديث وأصول الحديث وعلم دراية الحديث وعلم الحديث دراية. So the name of this science, he says it is called علم مصطلح الحديث, the science of the hadith terminology. It's also known as علوم الحديث, the sciences of hadith. It's also known as أصول الحديث, the fundamentals of hadith. It's also known as علم دراية الحديث, the knowledge of not the knowledge of knowing the narrations, or simply ilm al-hadithi dirayatan, ilmu hadithi dirayatan, which has the same meaning, the knowledge of hadith with regards to dirayat, and understanding these affairs, these terminologies and the likes like this, and identifying that which is authentic from that which is not, from that which is not, and knowing the principles and fundamentals in order to achieve that, in order to achieve that goal. So he says, حكمه الوجوب والعين عند الانفراد والكفاء عند التعدد. So the ruling of this science is that it is an individual obligation when no one else fulfills it. It's an individual obligation when no one else fulfills it, and it's a collective obligation when there are sufficient group undertaking it. So initially, the science of the hadith to learn this knowledge, the ruling with regards to that is fard al-kifaya. It's fard al-kifaya. It's not an obligation for everyone to learn the science, but it's something that some of the Muslims, they must establish. So fard al-kifaya, the people of knowledge, they mention, they say, huwa ma idha qama bihi ba'd al-muslimin saqata al-ithmu an al-baqin. Fard al-kifaya, the collective obligation, huwa ma idha qama bihi ba'd al-muslimin saqata al-ithmu an al-baqin. That if some, it's something, it's a ruling, or it's an affair in the religion, that if some of the Muslims establish it properly, then the burden and sin will fall off the rest of them. They're not held accountable. They're not held accountable. This is with regards to actions as well as knowledge. So if we were discussing knowledge, an example of that with regards to the deeds is like Salat al-Janazah. Salat al-Janazah is fard al-kifaya. Fard al-kifaya. It's not an obligation for everybody in Stone Mountain to pray janazah on someone who passed. But if no one establishes that right, then they're all sinning. But if a number of them that's sufficient establish that right, then the rest of them are free of blame, and they're not held accountable, and they're not sinning. And they're not sinning. So from the knowledge, there are aspects that are like this. And we have discussed this in many different classes. We have discussed this, alhamdulillah, in many different classes. So from the science, from the knowledge that's considered fard al-kifaya, is this knowledge here, knowledge, usul, ilm, usul, al-hadith, or mustalah, al-hadith. So I mentioned here how many names? One, two, three, four, five. What are the names? Mustalah, hadith, ilm, mustalah, hadith. Also, ulum, al-hadith. Also, usul, al-hadith. Also, ilm, dirayat, al-hadith. علم دراية الحديث, and also علم الحديث دراية, علم الحديث دراية. These are the different names of the science. If we look here, the author, he mentioned 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 points. He mentioned the تعريف, he mentioned the موضوع, he mentioned the فائدة, he mentioned the اسم, and he mentioned the حكم. He mentioned the definition, he mentioned the subject matter, he mentioned the benefit that you hope to obtain from studying this affair, and he mentioned the name of it, and likewise the ruling with regards to learning it and studying it. So these are 5 points that he mentioned. This is in reference to what the people of knowledge, they discuss with regards to every science. Every science, it has mabadi, it has fundamentals. Then if you're going to study it, you should know all of them, or at least some of them. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that they're 10. Mabadi al-ilm, mabadi wa kulli ilmin ashra. The fundamentals of all sciences are 10. So the author, he mentioned 5 of them. So this is basically like the bare minimum you have to know. If you're going to study a particular science, you need to know the definition of that science. You need to know the subject matter of that science. You need to know the benefit that you hope to obtain from studying this affair. Also, you need to know the names of it and what those names mean. And also, you need to know the ruling. This is all beneficial before even entering into that field, And also there are other affairs as well, 5 more. Because the people of knowledge, again, they mention مَبَادِئُ الْعِلْمِ عَشْرَ. مَبَادِئُ الْعِلْمِ عَشْرَ. That the fundamentals of knowledge, they are 10. the fundamentals of knowledge, they are 10. I have gathered them here. They're on this paper for anybody who wants to grab them. We're going to read from this now to discuss this affair and to get the extra benefit. Because the author, he's referring to this affair and he mentioned these five. And there are five more. We're going to discuss them. So the poet, he mentioned, إِنَّ مَبَادِيَ كُلِّ عِلْمٍ عَشْرَ الْحَدُّ وَالْمَوْضُوعُ ثُمَّ الثَّمَرَ وَنِسْبَتُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ وَالْوَاضِعُ وَالْإِسْمُ وَالْإِسْتِمْدَادُ حُكْمُ الشَّارِعِ مَسَائِلٌ وَالْبَعْضُ بِالْبَعْضِ اكْتَفَى وَمَنْ دَرَى الْجَمِيعَ حَازَ الشَّرَفَى. So the poet, he mentioned indeed the principles of every science are 10. Definition, subject matter, and its benefit then. Its relation, virtue, founder's name, its title, sources, and legal claim. Its issues too, some suffice with a few, but who masters them all gains honor that's due. Gains honor that's due. So the 10 fundamentals here mentioned in this lines of poetry is number one, al-had, which is the al-ta'rif, the definition. This is what the author, he mentioned. Likewise, al-mawdu'. Al-mawdu' is the subject matter. This is also what the author, he has mentioned. Then it's mentioned al-thamara. Al-thamara, yani al-fa'ida, the benefit, the fruit of that. The fruit and the benefit of studying this affair. So these first three is from what the author, he had mentioned, حَفِظُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Then in the lines of poetry, وَنِسْبَتُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ وَالْوَاضِعِ. وَنِسْبَتُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ وَالْوَاضِعِ. And nisba, yani its relation to the other sciences. So the relation of the science of hadith to the other sciences is that it's from the Islamic sciences. مِنْ الْعُلُومِ الشَّرْئِيَّةِ. مِنْ الْعُلُومِ الشَّرْئِيَّةِ. It's from the legislative sciences. So the science of hadith is a science from the legislative sciences, from the sciences about Islam. Rather from the most lofty and virtuous of them, because it's related to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly. The means to identify and verify whether it's established from him or not, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore it's from the most virtuous and noble and beneficial of sciences, from the legislative sciences. وَفَضْلُهُ, and its virtue, this is something that's very clear likewise, the virtue of this knowledge, and in the people of knowledge and their virtue, is well known. The people of knowledge and the people of knowledge of hadith and their virtue is well known. And al-wadi' is the one who is the founder of the science. Al-wadi' means the founder of the science. So this one is not mentioned. Likewise, we'll discuss that in a moment. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wal-ismu, the Shaykh, he mentioned that, right? Al-ismu, the Shaykh, he mentioned that. There are five names. What are they? Al-mustalah hadith, usul al-hadith. Huh? علم أصول الحديث علم الحديث دراية وعلم دراية الحديث صح؟ So these are the names, the author he mentioned. What is istimdad? Al-istimdad is where the science is derived from. Where the science is derived from. So the science is derived from the science, it has fundamentals. It has fundamentals going back to the book in the Sunnah. Going back to the book in the Sunnah, and then after that, even from the statements of the Sahaba, and more so from the statements of the scholars of hadith after them, from the tabi'in and the atba'at tabi'in and the likes like this, the science is derived from their statements. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he referred to these affairs. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَإٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا. If a corrupt individual comes to you, a sinner, he comes to you with some information, then you must clarify, you must verify. فَتَبَيَّنُوا. Some recitations that are authentic, فَتَثَبَّتُوا. You must verify, you must check. So this is an indication to the affairs of the sciences of hadith, that when information comes to you, especially from somebody who's not reliable, somebody who's known to be an open sinner, you don't take what he says like that. Rather, you have to verify and make sure that it's true. Rather, you have to verify and make sure that it is true. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned a number of narrations clarifying this affair. نظر الله امرأة سمع منه حديثا فحفظه كما سمعه فبلغ فحفظه وبلغه كما سمع. Till the end of the hadith, May Allah enlighten the face of a person who heard one of our narrations and he memorized it and conveyed it as he memorized it. So this is with regards to memorizing the narrations and conveying them. And also this is from the science of hadith, and this is what we'll be discussing bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said in the hadith of Ibn Abbas and radiallahu anhuma, تَسْمَعُونَ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْكُمْ وَيُسْمَعُ مِنْ مَا سَمِّعَ مِنْكُمْ, that you're going to hear the narration and it's going to be heard from you, and it'll be heard from those who heard from you. You're going to hear, meaning the revelation and the guidance that is revealed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it will be heard from those who heard, and it will be heard from you, and it will be heard from those who heard from you. This is in reference to the chain of narration and the tabaqat of narrators and the tabaqat of narrators. So this science has fundamentals and evidences in the book and the sunnah. And then likewise, the scholars of hadith and the scholars of this ummah, they establish these affairs in dealing with these narrations and seeking out the truth and verifying and clarifying that which is authentic from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and identifying the reliable narrators from those who are liars or from those who are weak and the likes like this. And from the first to do that in the time of the tabi'een, whenever the era of the sahaba had died out, radiallahu anhum, at the head of them was Muhammad ibn Sirin. He died in the year 110, and likewise al-Sha'bi, rahimahumullah, he died in the year 104 or 109 in this area like this. And they're from the first individuals to ask about the narrators and to criticize people for their narrations and speaking about these affairs when they're not reliable, and likewise to identify those who are reliable. And then after that, it continued. And these sciences and this knowledge and these terminologies, they were used by the scholars as they're narrating and transmitting and hearing the hadith and teaching the people the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until eventually a time come whenever they began to write these mustalahat down and to write works about them and to discuss them in written form. So in the beginning, it was mushafaha. They would declare this one to be weak, and they would declare this one to be strong. This one would be reliable. This one is not reliable. This one, he is upright in his religion, but he's weak in his memory. This one, he's a liar. And the likes like this, they discuss these affairs. This chain here is cut off. There's a missing link. This chain here is going to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this chain is not, so on and so forth. This knowledge, it evolved in this manner, from the people of knowledge using this terminology to identify and to clarify. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he had selected and chosen men to establish this affair. Has selected men to establish this affair, and they are the scholars of hadith. They are the scholars of hadith, and it's been narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah. He said, "Al-malaikatu qurasu as-sama wa al-hadithi qurasu al-ard." That the angels, they're the guardians of the heavens, and the people of hadith, they're the guardians of the earth. May Allah allow us to love them and follow their way. He says, "Hukmu al-shari." Hukmu al-shari, yani the ruling of the legislator. What's the ruling of the science? This is what the author, he mentioned and discussed. We had taken it previously. Then he says, masailun. Masail, these are masail, issues. The author, he referred to some of them in his definition. The masail are the different issues of this particular science. So we have the issue of the senate, the chain. We have the issue of the metin, the text. We have the issue of one being sahih, one being hasan, one being da'if. We have the issue of rafa, whether it's ascribed to the prophet, whether or waqf, whether it's ascribed to a companion, or qata', whether it's ascribed to a tabi or somebody after that. We have the issue of ulu, whether the chain has only a few narrators, or we have the issue of nuzul, whether the chain has a number of narrators. So the masail, or the affairs to discuss in the science, they're many. So this is the issue here in these lines of poetry. Masailun wal ba'du bil ba'd iktafa, and some, they suffice with some. Like our sheikh here, he only suffice with five. So they mentioned that there are tens, and the lines of poetry, he mentions that there are ten. Some of the people of knowledge, whenever they discuss the affairs, they suffice with some of them. There's no blame in that. وَمَنْ دَرَى الْجَمِيعَ حَزَ شَرَفًا. But whoever understands all 10 of them with regards to the science he's studying, then he will obtain the great virtue and nobility. He will grant that he will obtain the great virtue and nobility. So we read the lines of poetry again. إِنَّ مَبَادِيَ كُلِّ عِلْمٍ عَشْرًا الْحَدُّ وَالْمَوْضُوعُ ثُمَّ الثَّمَرَةُ وَنِسْبَتُهُ وَفَضْلُهُ وَالْوَاضِعُ والاسم والاستمداد حكم الشارع مسائل والبعض بالبعض اكتفى ومن درى الجميع حاز الشرفاء. So this is with regards to the ten fundamentals of knowledge. Again, the author, he mentioned five of them, and here are the other five. We discussed them, alhamdulillah, or some of them. Now we want to move on to the topic here of فوائد دراسة علم مصطلح الحديث, the benefits of studying the science of hadith. The author mentioned one benefit. What was that? The benefit of studying the science of hadith. There's one benefit he mentioned. What is that? The main aim and goal that you hope to achieve in studying the science. Huh? Huh? To know the weak one from the authentic one. Naam? وَالْمَقْسُودُ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ الْمَقْبُولُ وَالْمَرَدُولُ. This is the intent. عِلْمُ الْحَدِيثِ ذو قوانين تحد يدرى بها أحوال متن وسند فذلك الموضوع والمقصود أن يعرف المقبول والمردود. So the main goal is to know the difference between those narrations that are accepted and those that are Reject it. This is the main affair. But there are many others. We take them yani briefly. We take them yani briefly. Number one, فهم أقوال العلماء في كتب الحديث. Understanding the statements of the scholars in the books of hadith. So this is also a great benefit. Whenever you study the science, you'll be able to understand the statements of the scholars and the books of hadith, and likewise in the books of tafsir. For example, if you read in tafsir Ibn Kathir, he's a muhaddith. And the best means to interpret the book of Allah after the book of Allah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you'll find Ibn Kathir rahimahullah mentioning narrations. And many times he'll mention the chains of narrations likewise, and other times he'll mention terminology to identify whether the narrations are accepted or not. And if you go back before him, Ibn Kathir died in 774. You go back before him, the same methodology or similar, you will find al-Baghawi, he died in 516. If you go back before him to Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, rahimahullah, who died in the year 310, you'll find that he narrates with chain. He narrates with chain. And every ayah that he discusses, he'll discuss the ayat, and he'll mention the interpretation and his understanding, and then he will say, and that which indicates what I am stating here is narrated to me from so-and-so, and it goes back to the Prophet, or it goes back to the companions, or it goes back to the tabi'in and the likes like this. So this is the proper manner of understanding the religion. So whenever you read these books, you want to know what they're saying. You want to know what they're talking about. Even if you yourself are not able yet to identify whether it's authentic or not, maybe he's telling you that, but you just don't understand what he's saying. Maybe he's telling you that, but you just don't understand what he's saying. Or maybe that it's so obvious that it's not accepted, but you just don't have that very fundamental knowledge to identify that. So this is a great benefit from learning the science of hadith, to be able to understand the intent from the scholars whenever they speak, and their lectures and their lessons, and likewise in their written works. As well, the science of usul al-fiqh, similarly. There's a portion of usul al-fiqh that every believers should learn, so that they're able to understand the religion in general and understand what the people of knowledge are saying whenever they discuss the affairs of the religion, any very basic and fundamental affairs that are used commonly in the words and the statements of the people of knowledge. Also from the benefits, ziyadatul imani wa tumanina bihifdhillahi li dinihi tabaraka wa ta'ala, an increase in faith and tranquility through witnessing, to realizing the preservation of Allah for his religion. And whenever you study the science, especially whenever you go into intricate detail, you will see the amazing affairs that these men have established in preserving and protecting the religion of Allah, as we did, preserving and protecting the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You say, subhanallah, books and books and books written all about narrators and identifying where they lived and how long they lived and who they met and who they sat with and their memory and what went on in their life, so on and so forth. Books have been written and collected about these affairs from the early days. And then likewise, terminology, other books clarifying these narrators and whether they're reliable, whether they're not reliable, and then the different chains and the different texts and the faults that the narrators they make, and how to identify the mistake of someone who almost never makes a mistake. And this requires a great, great precision and high knowledge to be able to identify that someone who is so precise almost never makes a mistake in his memorization. But in this one narration, he's wrong. To be able to check that and identify that in the life like this, in order to clarify that this one is not authentic on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-Imam Fulan, like for example, Al-Imam Malik, the great Imam. There's narrations where he made a mistake. And those great scholars, they will find them. They will identify them. They'll clarify them. He made a mistake on this one. He's a great Imam. He almost never makes a mistake, almost never in his narration. But this narration here, he got it wrong. And they'll clarify that by gathering the chains and by looking at them and looking at the text and so on and so forth in amazing ways. So whenever you see this diligence in preservation of the sunnah, you'll say, Alhamdulillah, my religion is preserved. Jazakumullahu khairan. And also you'll move on to the next affair, ma'rifatu aqdar ulama al-hadith. Ma'rifatu aqdar ulama al-hadith wa hubbuhum wa ihtiramuhum. Recognizing the status of the scholars of hadith and developing great love and respect and honor for them. So whenever you see these affairs and you learn about the life, you learn about their lives and the efforts that they did, so on and so forth, you will love them. You will love them for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. You will love them dearly for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So many stories and efforts that they have went through, writing works and traveling and going through hardships and difficulties in order to verify and identify the narrations that are authentic from those that are not, in order to clarify who are liars from those who are truthful, so on and so forth, with regards to the religion about Islam. Defending the deen and establishing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they gave their life and their wealth and their time and everything in this cause for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah, He selected them and chose them for this affair. So then a believer, he will love them. He will love them and he will honor them and he will respect them and he will not belittle them or deny them their rights that they deserve. And likewise, he will not raise them above a level or rank that they deserve. And the likes. Number five, As-salamatu min al-kadhibi ala nabi. As-salamatu min al-kadhibi ala nabi. Also from the benefits of studying this science is a person who will be safe from lying on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether directly or indirectly. Whether directly or indirectly, because he'll be able to identify those that are authentic. And even if he himself is not able to identify those affairs by checking himself, he can go to the scholars of hadith who are reliable, understand their statements, and take from them directly, because he knows what they're saying. This narration is hasan, okay, I'll follow it. This narration is da'if, okay, I will leave it. And the likes like this, he will understand what that means and what that requires and necessitates, so on and so forth. So he will be able to follow the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon insight. Even, for example, somebody just had basic knowledge, but with that basic knowledge, now he will be able to understand the statements of Shaykh al-Albani a lot better, rahimahullah. He'll be able to understand the statements of Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, a lot better now, because he has some general terminology of what he's working with whenever you read Sifat al-Salah. Sifat al-Salah is a book of hadith. Have you read it? It's a book of hadith. He's mentioning hadith after hadith after hadith, especially the longer version. Especially the longer version. I'm talking about the ones in Arabic. So then to understand what he's talking about, to actually benefit from the word, instead of being clueless, reading words, being clueless, not knowing what he's saying. Well, this is munqati' and this one is maqtu'. What's the difference from that? And then I say this, he doesn't know. But these are very fundamental terminologies and words that the people of knowledge that use often. So this is a great benefit. This is a great benefit. Alhamdulillah. So also from the benefits, we're going to move to what is number seven here. At-tamkinu min al-bahthi fi kutub al-sunnah. At-tamkin min al-bahthi fi kutub al-sunnah. That a person, he will have the ability to research in the books of the sunnah. He will have the ability to research in the books of the sunnah. And he can actually research and find benefit from that research because he has knowledge and fundamentals of the scholars who wrote those works. So he will benefit from that in a great manner. Also from the benefits of studying the science, الربط بين الفقه والحديث, to connect the jurisprudence, the legal rulings, together with the authentic narrations. Because these legal judgments, and in the legislative judgments and rulings in Islamic jurisprudence, are based upon the prophetic reports, based upon the prophetic narrations. From the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a student of fiqh, he cannot master this field without correctly understanding the hadith terminology and its standards. Likewise, a student of tafsir. Likewise, a student of seerah. You have to have some knowledge of this science in order to discuss these affairs. Even some of the people of knowledge they mentioned, for example, in history. One of the greatest books of history is a book called Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya. Al-Bidayah wa Nihaya by Ibn Kathir. It's a very large work. It's a very large work. Some of our teachers, they mentioned to us that a student, he should not begin to read that book except if he has the knowledge of Aqidah. Number one, he must have a sound Aqidah. He's going to read some reports in there that if he does not have a sound Aqidah, maybe he could be affected by some doubts or misconceptions. Aqidah, especially with regards to the Khawarij and the likes like this and other affairs. You have to have a sound Aqidah before you go delving in these affairs. And likewise, you have to have knowledge of the science of Hadith. Because there are reports and the likes of these works that are lies and fabricated. And a student who has the ability to identify that will benefit. And as for those who do not, then they may be tried by them. They may be tried by them, or at least to be aware of these affairs. Because maybe there's reports about some of the Salaf, they did this or they did that, and their lives, and their lies, and they're not true, they're not authentic. Ibn Kathir, maybe he'll mention some change. And the people of knowledge, they will say, the one who mentioned the change, then he's free of blame. And he's free of blame and the lies like this. If you don't have this knowledge, you're not going to go far in the sciences of Al-Islam. This is from the fundamental knowledge, from the fundamental sciences. A student, he must learn, number one, the Arabic language, and that he's fluent. And then after that, Usul al-fiqh, and along with that, Mustalah hadith. These are three fundamental key sciences for becoming firm, strong, and the Islamic knowledge. Three fundamental key sciences to becoming firm and strong, and the Islamic sciences. must learn the Arabic language, the Nahu and the Sarf, and the Balagha. Yani before all of that, the vocabulary. So you're fluent, and you speak crisp and clear, and you pronounce words properly. You don't make mistakes, and you read them properly. And based upon that pronunciation and that reading, you have a good understanding. Bismillah ta'ala. And then after that, you have the fundamentals in usul al-fiqh and fundamentals in usul al-hadith. From here, a person, he can move and study tafsir, he can study aqidah, he can study seerah, he can study fiqh and jurisprudence and the likes like this, bismillah ta'ala, in a fluent and good manner. So this is an encouragement, and it's to move in this way. We get some brief understanding of some of these terms, alhamdulillah, and hopefully it will encourage you to strive to learn the Arabic language and become firm and grounded in that and fluent, so you can move on further in the science and the sciences of Al-Islam. And for those who already know the Arabic language, alhamdulillah, then it's open for them. They can study, they can find classes online and the likes like this, and works and books, and sit in the classes that are live about this topic and benefit in a great manner. If we go back to those 10 fundamentals, there was one that we didn't discuss. That was Al-Wadi'. Al-Wadi', this is the founder. I mean, the first one to discuss these affairs. Who's the first one who discussed the issues of Mustalah Hadith? Who's the first one who wrote a book about Mustalah Hadith? This is the question. Who's the first one who wrote a book about Mustalah Hadith? And what is the first book? You understand the question? So how was this science collected? How did it come about? So we discussed before that initially it was verbally. It was verbally in the early days. And in the end of the time of the Sahaba and the time of the Tabi'een, this is whenever this terminology became strong. And we know the statement of Muhammad ibn Sirin, لَمْ يَكُونُوا يَسْأَلُونَ عَنَ الْإِسْنَادِ فَلَمَّا وَقَعَتِ الْفِتْنَةِ قَالُوا سَمُّوا لَنَا رِجَالَكُمْ. We did not used to ask about the chain. But whenever the fitna befell, any the murder of Uthman and the Khawarij overthrowing and the likes like this, and the creeds becoming deviant with some of the Muslims, then we said to them, "Tell us who your men are, and who you heard these chains from." فَيُنْظَرُ إِلَى أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ فَيُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ وَيُنْظَرُ إِلَى أَهْلِ الْبِدْعَةِ وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ حَدِيثُهُمْ. So we would look to the people of the Sunnah and take their narrations, and we look to the people of innovation and will not take their narrations. And also likewise, it's narrated from Sufyan al-Thawri. He died in 161. He said, "Al-isnadu silah al-mu'min, walawla al-isnadu laqala man sha'a man sha'a." That the chain is the weapon of the believer. And had it not been for the chain, then anyone would say whatever he likes. So this is to be on the chain, to be aware of the chain, to know the realities of the chain. And the scholars of hadith that understand the religion properly based upon these chains. And the likes like this, and this chain of narration is something that's very virtuous, and no other nation has. No other nation and no other prophet has chains in this manner. This is something specific to the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he's the final prophet and he's the last messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his sunnah and his laws and legal ways, they are established and clarified and verified, and they remain until the day of judgment in this manner, by way of the chain and the people of chain. By way of the chain and the people of the chain. So this is a major affair. This is a major affair. From the first to discuss these affairs in written works, Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He died in the year 204. He has a work called Risala and also a work called Al-Um. And both of these works are about Usul al-Fiqh. But inside these works, he discussed some issues about Mustalah Hadith. He discussed the issue of the Mursa. He discussed the issue of the Munqati' and the likes like this. So from the first of the scholars to write about these affairs was Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. But he didn't write about it in a book all by itself, in an individual book about the science. Rather, he discussed some of the issues of the science in other books. And this is how this knowledge was transmitted in the beginning. The scholars, they didn't initially write books only about Mustalah Hadith. Rather, they would talk about issues from this science inside of other works that they had. About other topics. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he died in 256. He has a work called Tariq al-Kabir, and it's about narrators. It's a large work about narrators. And he will mention mustalahat in there, munkar hadith and likes like this, whether he's a fiqh, so on and so forth. So he wrote a book about the narrators, and he discussed some of these affairs. And likewise, Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, he died in 261. In his sahih, in the introduction, he discussed issues about taking from reliable narrators and not taking from the liars. And he mentioned issues about the Mustalah Hadith, so on and so forth. So initially,
this science was discussed by the people of knowledge and their works that are related to other topics. They would discuss throughout these works these issues here. Likewise, At-Tirmidhi, rahimahullah, and his book is called Al-Ilm, Ilm al-Hadith, which is a khatima. It's in the end of the work, but it's really the introduction. But he put it in the end of the work. In this work here, which is part of his jami', rahimahullahu ta'ala, he discussed the affairs of hadith, of the science of hadith, a number of them. And likewise, Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, rahimahullah, whenever he authored his work, Sunan Abi Dawood, which is very famous and well-known, he sent the copies, they went out through the lands, and he wrote a treatise to the people of Mecca. It's called Risalatu Abi Dawood li Ahli Mecca, clarifying for them the methodology and his way in that book, and the terminology that he used. In that treatise, he clarified for them some of what he intends from the words that he's using. So the people of knowledge, they were using these affairs in this manner and discussing these different terms and these works that were about other topics. We got the picture. It wasn't until later, whenever the first person attempted to write one book about the science, and it's Abu Muhammad Hassan ibn Abdurrahman ibn Khalad Ramahulmuzi, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 360. So he's the first one. He's the first one to write a book only about Mustalah Hadith. And then after him, it unfolded. And they came after him. And Hakim came after him. He died in 405. And after him, Abu Nu'aym. He died in 430. And after him, Al-Khatib al-Baghdadi. And he's from the stallions of this science. He's from the best of the science. And everybody after him, they rely upon him. All the way until Ibn Salah, he came. Khatib, he died in 463. Ibn Salah, he died in 643. He changed it around. And he went to the books of Al-Khatib, and he gathered them, and he summarized them, and he dictated them to his students, and they wrote it down. And this work here was called Ulum al-Hadith, Marifatu Ulum al-Hadith. And then after that, all of the people of knowledge, they relied upon that all the way until the time of Ibn Hajar. If we had more time, I would tell you all about that, but it's time to pray. Have that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.